for us tonight. And I knew that you would do a good job. I appreciate it so much. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs tonight, chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. I have read to you a couple of services, a verse out of the book of Job about the Bible says, ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee. And it also says in verse 8, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach you some things about nature, some things that nature produces, watching it and learning from it. I want you to look in Proverbs 24, if you would please. I think you agree with me that the earth is absolutely filled with the goodness of God. And I think that there's something that we can learn, a lesson we can learn from something that the earth has given us and something we can observe. Look in chapter 24, verse number 13. The scripture says, my son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to the taste. All right. Look in chapter 25 with me in verse number 27. The Bible says, it is not good to eat much honey. Why is that? Well, look in chapter 25 and verse number 16. The Bible says, has thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and what? Okay, so what you have done, you have taken something that is good, and you have allowed something good to do you harm. You've allowed something good to turn into something bad in your life. Do you agree with that? And that's the principle that he is teaching us here. Too much of a good thing will make you sick. Too much of a good thing will make you sick. Now, he uses that for the principle in verse 17, but we're going to move on from something else. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. How am I going to miss you if you don't leave? Do you understand? I mean, you can really kill a friendship by smothering the person that you want to be around a lot. That's what that principle is, too much of a good thing. So you need to learn how to space things out. Doth not nature teach us some things here about honey? Now I'm going to use this tonight to help our young people with some things, but I think the rest of us can also gather some things from this. Too much of a good thing. Don't let a good thing turn into a bad thing. Someone said, in the garden of addiction, nothing grows but needs. That's a good statement. In the garden of addiction, nothing grows but needs. My heart and my goal tonight is not to motivate any of you through the element of guilt and bringing balance in your life to some things that are good for you or can be good for you or that you can enjoy and that you have liberty to use. My preacher brethren are very, very good at motivating through fear and guilt, and I've learned that it doesn't last very long. It usually falls by the wayside after a while. And I've also learned that if you want to overcome something, you need a greater desire. Yes, sir. Amen. And if you can have a greater desire, You can leave some of the things that are holding you back and hurting you. You really can. But you got to want something more. You got to want something more. We sometimes would call that being motivated, maybe in some areas of our lives. And these things that I'm going to talk with you tonight, my goal is to motivate you through love and desire for God and to please Him and to be close to Him and to find your purpose in life and fulfill it. You know, the law of gravity requires a greater law to overcome it. Amen? And so I do want you to have greater desires. And here's the thing about the things that we're going to deal with tonight, especially in the area of social media and electronics. We live in a generation now, we live in a time that's not like any other. Now what we can do is we can teach everybody to stay away from the water, which they're not going to. Eventually they're going to go to the water, water liking unto social media and electronics. Or we can teach them to swim. And we also can teach them the dangerous currents and the riptides and the places to avoid so that you can go swimming and enjoy swimming and come back alive. Amen? And so I want to help you tonight in this area so that you might be able, by the grace of God, to not let a good thing turn into a bad thing. The Bible brings balance into our lives. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:16 that God has richly blessed us, and He's richly blessed us with things that we can richly enjoy. Now, you know, I like guilt-free joy. I like guilt-free fun. Do you? I get tired every time I have a good time. Somebody makes me feel guilty for having a good time. Honey is good, the Bible says. I have learned this, that, and so you have to determine, first of all, is anything that we're talking about tonight, is there any of it good? So if it's not good, we're not talking about you having balance. We're talking about you getting away from it. Okay? So if it's not good for anything, you don't need to be participating in it. There is no element of pornography that is good for you. You are to totally abstain from pornography. You understand? That's not even debatable. Hopefully. But there are people in their brains that think that, hey, you know, just a little bit won't hurt. You cannot take fire in your bosom and not be burned. You can't do that. You say, I can control it. Well, obviously you can't control your lying, because that's what you're doing. But I want to talk about this. The things that we talk about tonight, and we'll talk about primarily about your phone and what's on it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and video gaming. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about those areas and help you to understand that there are some good things in those things, but you cannot allow these things to turn into bad in your life and to impact you. I believe that God can trust me with more if I will love Him more than pleasure. And I believe that if I have balance in my life, if I have temperance in my life, moderation in my life, God will be able to promote me into leadership because He can trust me with things. The Bible terms for you to consider tonight, before we get into the examples, the word temperate, used often in your New Testament, required of a pastor and a leader and elders, older men. You are to be temperate in all things. Temperate. That means you have a good restraint with your pleasures and your passions. You have a good balance. The word moderation You're to let your moderation be made known unto all men. That's the controlling of your appetites, your ambitions, and your liberties. Have you ever seen the word incontinent in your Bible? The word incontinent is mentioned in 2 Timothy 3 about the last days. People being lovers of themselves. People being lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The word incontinent in that text, context, means lack of restraint of your passions and your pleasures. You are indulgent. In other words, if somebody gave you a little bit of honey, if we went back in the room, you'd be passed out from overdose of sugar because you would have ate the whole jar full of honey. Because you have no restraint. It's not that I need to take the honey away from you, is that you need to learn moderation and temperance and when to say no, when to put the brakes on. Then we could line the whole food pantry with honey and it's not going to destroy your life. Do you understand? Now listen carefully. The word riotous is mentioned often in the New Testament. It refers to eaters of flesh. It's connected with gluttony, unrestrained, undisciplined eating. Many preachers will really ride hard teenagers about their phones and Facebook and gaming while they themselves cannot control their eating. The Bible refers to lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. God didn't say don't love pleasure. He said just don't love pleasure more than you love me. The word excess, that means going beyond the limits and boundaries that are good and safe for you that even nature itself teaches you. If you go down to Galveston at certain times of the year, you could go into the surf. But there are certain times you go into that surf, there's going to be a riptide. And there's going to be some signs up for you of that, or red flags up. Red flags. Not now. Not this time. Come back later. And somebody says, well, I can handle that. But they normally don't handle it. Tonight I want to teach you on to you about your excess will hinder your success. Now let's talk about a few things tonight, okay? In according to the scriptures that I've just mentioned to you. You know, I think you have to determine, am I being excessive in my habits away from what I am doing? First of all, we need to determine if your habit is a good thing. If what you're involved in, is it got any good benefits to it? Okay, so I put some things out here on the table. I know all of you can't see them, but I'm going to walk down there in just a minute and pick some of them up and try to help you with some of this. All right? Let's say the one that probably, and I'll come back to this one later. All right, let's start with this one. Y'all, can y'all see that? You know what that's for, right? Now I like to call Brother Oakley Brother Spoon sometimes because he likes to stir up stuff all the time between us. But really, what we're talking about here, you know what the book of Proverbs says about eating? If thou be a man given to appetite, he says, put a knife to your throat. That word given is the important thing. If you be a man given to appetite, what does that mean? It means you have no restraint. You can't control your appetite. Before you criticize some of these kids on some of the things that they're involved in, you be very sure that you yourself can control some of your own passions, such as eating. And gluttony is mentioned many times in the Word of God. This one right here, this is, I'm going to use this bottle so you can see it better. This is not what it is, but you understand. Let's go with medication. I'm talking about prescribed medication. I'm talking about prescribed medication, many of them that come from some kind of opiate-based drug that can be very addictive, like Oxycontin. Okay? Now, You know, the Lord could trust you to be a pharmacist if he could trust you not to get involved in everything that comes through the pharmacy. Some of you couldn't even work in a pharmacy because you'd be putting stuff in your pocket that you really wanted. Everything you found, you'd be sneaking it out of there. See, God couldn't trust you and elevate you in a place of responsibility because you don't have any temperance. You don't have any self-denial. You don't have any discipline. Because you love your pleasure more than you love God. And if you love God, you can walk through those places. But I had a lady in my church. She's gone to be with the Lord now. But years ago, she called me over to her house. She was a widow. She said, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "Okay, I'm coming over." I thought she was fitting to give me a chewing up or something. I'm just kidding about that. She was a godly lady. She said, "I'm burdened about something." She says, "Every time a particular woman comes to visit me and her husband, when I go in my medicine cabinet," she said, "there is medicine, drugs missing out of my cabinet every single time she comes over here." The reason why they prescribe that stuff is because they know too much of it's going to hurt you. And so you're going to have to control. Now, look, we're talking about drugs. We're talking about legal drugs. What about illegal drugs? Okay? All right? And then I use this for a credit card. Okay? Now, it's actually an Academy card because in case I didn't want to leave my credit card up here after church in case I forgot. But I will leave an Academy card up here for you if I forget it. Bless you. But also know it's only got 55 cents left on it. But how about a credit card? Did you know that the credit card company set up on college campuses? That right, Brother Brent? They set up, especially first part of the year, they set up their tents. And they wait for those kids to come in and they start trying to sell them a credit card and get them involved in a credit card because they know they cannot control. Now, Dave Ramsey said, almost says, it's one of the Ten Commandments not to have a credit card. Now, the reason he says that is because he observes thousands of people across America who cannot control a credit card. So he says, don't get one. But it's been very convenient. It's a good thing. I mean, this right here, that's a good thing. If I use one today for lunch. I just got a big one so you can see it. Now I might use this to eat ice cream. But do you understand? Food is good for you. God made food to be good for you, not to hurt you. Man has been able to come up with medicines off of plants that were grown and produced by this earth to be able to help you if it's used correctly. If it's used correctly. All right? A credit card was come up by man just to help you. It's convenient for me when I travel abroad. As a matter of fact, we went to the ball game the other night, took my boys for the first time. They went to their first baseball game. And to the Astro game Thursday night, they wouldn't even take cash for anything we wanted to buy. Couldn't buy a hot dog, couldn't buy chips, couldn't buy anything with cash. So I'm glad I had a credit card to be able to pay for that. And the same thing, it can be good if you let it be your tool and it not control you. But how many people right now take a credit card and in less than an hour will have 10 years to have to pay for something they use in less than an hour? Now, you might have a problem if the UPS and Prime, and what's one of the other ones, FedEx, if those drivers are showing up and knocking on your door and want to know if y'all are okay. Because they haven't seen you in a day or two. You understand what I mean by that, right? I'm saying that you could use one of these. God could trust you with money. And I'm talking about money now, right? The Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not, we all need money, but we can't love money. We all need food, we just can't love food. Occasionally, you're going to need some medicine, but you don't need to love medicine. and start looking for medicine. Do you understand? And not using it as an excuse or a crutch in your life. But sometimes you will need it. Okay, now let's talk about electronics for just a minute. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the cell phone. Okay, is it good for us? Well, let me talk about the benefits. Okay, first of all, I can talk to somebody on this. That's a benefit most of the time. Can I overdo that? Oh, yes. I get text messages. It's almost like an office away from the office for me. I get phone calls, text messages from you, from preachers, from family members. WhatsApp is on here. I hear from missionaries often through WhatsApp because it's free. That's a blessing. That's a good thing. I discuss things with Brother Byard, some issues there, and other preachers and other missionaries. Messenger. Often get texts from men and preachers. Email. I like email. I don't have to get my computer up just to check my email. I can check it on here. Life 360. Know what that is? I'm not selling this to you. My wife and I, we like to know that if we've traveled, that we're okay. And so I know when her car's on the road, I can see exactly where she's at. And what she don't know is I know how fast she's going. Like 85 in a 65? I'm just kidding. But close. But I know when she's almost home. So I know when to clean up the house right before she gets there. But I know where she's at. I love that. She knows where I'm at. In other words, if I'm leaving Lake Livingston after catching a few fish and coming home, she says, well, I know when he's going to be home. I'm going to have supper ready when he walks in the door. It's a blessing to us to know where. Matter of fact, when we got out of the ballpark the other night, we couldn't find our car. So we used this. And we found our car. You say, you are getting old. I'm just telling you, we came out a different place than we went in. Okay? And so I'm just saying that I've got the Weather Channel on here. And when I'm fishing, I'm always looking at the Weather Channel. If I'm thinking about cutting grass or whatever, I'm always, and if you're in construction, you're always looking at the Weather Channel. All the time. Brother Lauren no doubt has to look. He says he doesn't pay attention to the weather. He just goes. But every once in a while, you got to look at it. How about Google Maps? You ever use that? That's a blessing, isn't it? Marco Polo. I'm looking at some of you. I don't know what that is. I chat with Brother Mike Flick, face-to-face, video, free. Well, almost free. It's a blessing. Dropbox, Facebook. Facebook is addictive. Can be addictive, but it can also be a blessing. I get to see some preachers and their services online. I heard a message by Alan Gullick that was on Facebook. That small church where he was preaching out in Louisiana, they don't have what we have, and so they just had it. There, somebody on the phone just taping their services and broadcast it. And I listened to his message while I was working on something yesterday, and man, it blessed my heart. It was a blessing. I use Google for KJV Online to look up things. Where I used to, I have to get out big books and look up something, and now I can just punch in a word, and boom, there it is. How many times it's in my KJV Bible? It gives me the definition of it. It saves me time. I enjoy it. When I take a walk sometimes around the neighborhood, I put on audiobooks. And I listen to somebody read a book to me. Music. All kinds of things. So you agree, don't you, that it can be used for good. But am I using it for good? It's like honey. Is it going to be used for good? Is it a tool? Or am I the tool? And it's using me. Okay? So you got to think about that. All right, by the way, you know, if you ever go to the airport and you sit down, what's everybody doing? Everybody. Including us. And most of the time, if we have a family gathering, even in your own living room, everybody can be on the phone. Matter of fact, You're going to start texting one another from chair to chair. That's how bad it's getting. See, how you doing? But let's talk about some of these addictions. And I am talking about an addiction here and getting out of balance. Okay? And I pray that you'll bear with me concerning some of these things. All right, let's talk about internet and modern technology addiction. Cell phones and laptops. I want to talk especially to you young men, because young men are the one they target. The laptop. Let's talk about gaming. Is there any good in gaming? Well, that's a good question. I did a lot of research on this. I hope I don't fail you tonight to get my burden across to you. But that I want to tell you, your preacher's not against gaming. It's against gaming controlling you. That's what I'm against. The benefits of gaming, I did a lot of research on this. The benefits of gaming. I'm not a gamer. Okay? But I want to be honest and I want to be pure in heart about this subject tonight. And especially to my young men and our young ladies. I know men, young men primarily concerning this. Because 75% to 90% of young males that are addicted to gaming are at the average age of 24 years old. Starts at 18 usually or younger, goes up to 34. But I'm simply saying, what are the benefits of it? Well, they say, and I trust them, if I look at the damage it causes and believe it, then I'm going to have to look at some of the benefits and believe it. Or otherwise, just throw it out. Can't just pick and choose. They say, and by the way, the military does use these things to help train some of their soldiers. Problem solving and logic is increased. Cognition is increased. But again, remember now, eat so much honey as is good for you. Hand-to-eye coordination and motor skills improve. Decision-making improves. Memory improves. It can be a stress relief. The military uses video games and simulation technology as a part of its training program. Okay? Now, let's talk just a little bit about what cell phones and laptops and gaming does. And let's look and see when it gets out of balance here. Here are some of the symptoms if it's out of balance. Did you know there's a word for cell phones called nomophobia? You ever heard of that? It stands for no mobile phone phobia. If you take a cell phone away from a teenager or a young adult primarily, they actually go through withdrawals. They have feelings of desperation and anxiety because they're separated from their phones. Because they are hooked on what is called a dopamine boost in their brain. Okay? Now, some of the symptoms that you know that you're over the edge with this. Preoccupation with gaming means you are using too much of your time doing this. In other words, even in this room right now, and I'm trying to preach to you, teach you, love you, help you, warn you, exhort you, and your mind is wandering and leaving this place, and you're thinking about a video game. That's what goes on. constantly thinking about video games even when you're not playing. You plan your activities, your daily routines around the gaming sessions. The tail is wagging the dog. The loss of control is the inability to reduce your time, even though people have tried to help you do it. And you feel restless, you're irritable, and you're anxious unless you're able to play a video game. You neglect your responsibilities. You decline, it's a declining performance at work, school, or at home. You ignore, and this really, really, really impacts, I think, us. We ignore very important relationships and social obligations so that we can play a game. Using gaming as a way, kids are using, I call it an electronic opium. Because what they're doing is they're using these games to deal with the stress and the loneliness and the negative feelings that they're having and their emotions and their heart, and it's easy just to withdraw and be alone or online with somebody that's a friend of theirs. Fatigue from staying up too late. Grown men with wives and children playing games lose their jobs because they show up at work and they're dragging around and they're irritable because they have stayed up instead of going to bed and getting a good night's rest and getting up early, giving God some me time, and then being able to function. They reduce their physical activity, and so they increase what we call the sedentary behavior. You watch the average young male today and he's kind of white and pasty and overweight because he's eating donuts and he's playing video games or he's drinking Monsters while he's playing so he can stay up longer to shoot somebody, kill somebody, or land an airplane. And you become very, very sensitive, no doubt, to anybody that criticizes you about playing those games too much. Here's when you know, listen, they have set up, people are making money off of your habit. They set up places where you have to go through therapy to get off of these things. They say that it's time for you to consult a mental health professional when you are having frequent arguments with your family or your friends about your gaming. When your grades are declining, your job performance is declining, when you are neglecting your self-care, your skipping meals or your hygiene. I mean, you look pretty rough. Your hair hadn't been combed. Your shirt hadn't been ironed. Your shoes aren't tied. Because you just don't care. You have no longer care. It's a dope. It's a drug. It's a habit that you get hooked on that's going to harm you and hurt you. And not only that, but you'll see yourself starting to withdraw and you're unable to enjoy the activities that you used to enjoy outside. Yeah, that's right. You don't throw the football or the baseball, or you don't go fishing, or you don't go hunting, or you don't go golfing, or you don't go shopping, and you don't want to talk with anybody. You just want to go back into that hole, that cave. That's when you've taken something that could be good, that would actually help you. Listen, when President Trump signed a few weeks ago this bill on cryptocurrency, it's going to open doors for people who are going to be able to code, punch code and punch in codes. Those are going to be some of you who are very good at gaming if you don't let the gaming control you and ruin your life. Do you understand? There's going to be some careers out there for you with the abilities that you possess if you don't allow it to possess you. Are y'all listening? Okay. And if it's not you, it's probably going to be somebody in your family that you love very much and care about. And here's what I have seen about parents. I've seen parents who don't want this going on, and they feel like they don't know what to do because they've gotten too far into it, and it's hard for them to pull it away. If you're going to back off a little bit, put something in its place, like you. Okay? And if these things are getting out of control, make sure that it's not out of control for your convenience. In other words, you are seeing the electronics as babysitters. Because you don't want to hear the noise, and so you put them on a laptop, you put them on a Game Boy, you put them on a video game, because now you don't have to deal with them anymore. And so you, instead of you accepting your responsibility to develop a relationship and communicate and discipline and do something together, you have turned this over to be your babysitter. I know that y'all are really enjoying this. But I'm trying to help you. And this is from a burden. It's from a burden. Don't let those laptops and those phones and those video. And listen, you can do this with Netflix. People binge on Netflix. Again, God's given you some things to enjoy. Don't let those things rob you. You can do some things together. And enjoy the things that God has given you. I need you to turn to the Word of God again. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9, and I'll close with this thought. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, please. Know that your pastor loves you. Know that he cares about you. And know that we need you. And I know some of you say, well, I don't have that problem. We don't even have a TV. We don't have electronics. We don't have cell phones. I doubt that, really, that you don't have something. But I will say, maybe you don't. But as your child grows and goes away from home, they're going to. It would be better if you taught them how to swim before they jumped in the ocean. A little bit to help them in these particular areas. Look in 1 Corinthians and chapter number 9. Can I ask you young men some serious questions from somebody that loves you? And cares about you and wants nothing but your success. Wants nothing but your success. That's it. God's order for every young man, number one, is to learn how to work. Here's his order. Now listen, when you're very little, play all you can because you're not going to be free anymore when you get a little bit old enough to work. No need in feeling guilty for letting a 4-year-old play his heart out. But as you get into the ages of 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, you have got to learn how to work and the order of it. It is work and then play. It's not play. And then work. It is work, play, rest, work, play, rest, work. That's the order that God has designed this for us. Hey, what would you do if you had to live back in the, let's say, 1800s and you were out in Wyoming and it had just snowed about 20 feet and you're in a cabin and there are no electronics. And it's just you. And maybe one other. You know, there is such thing as cabin fever. So I'm saying at some point, you got to understand that people actually survived without electronics. But they did find something to do. I think that you're under great temptation today, more than any generation that's ever been on the planet, for your attention. and your time, your mind, and your brain. More than ever. I've told the Lord often, I was so glad I was born, and I hate to say this, in the 50s. That's a long time ago. 57. A lot of classics came out in 1957. 57 Chevy. I've told my boys, you see that over there? That's a classic, 1957. A lot of classics came out in 1957. I'm one of them. And they said, oh, no, you, Papa, you got it wrong. That's antiques. But do you understand that I look back on that and I'm thankful with all my heart that I did not come up with some of the temptations that you're dealing with today as far as electronics are concerned. Didn't have access to them, didn't have them. Found things to do with my time, read and explore and run the fields and the creeks, shoot my BB gun, take my baseball bat and get on the gravel road and throw those rocks up and knock them over the power line and in my mind imagine that I'm hitting it out of the ballpark. Just safe. There wasn't somebody trying to get my IP address or my number or sending me pictures or somebody trying to get me to open something on my phone. You understand what I'm saying? Man, it was a blessing. And if you heard anybody talking to you, you're just talking to yourself in the field. That's not that way anymore. You don't get much silence, do you? There's noise everywhere you go. Noise in videos and images everywhere you turn. And it's having an impact on you. But I believe in every generation, no matter what's going on, God always raises up a generation that can handle it. And you can be part of that generation. Brother Brent is using social media to pierce the darkness. He's not, when you have a cell phone, you have access to the whole world, social media, but guess what? The whole world has access to you. And that's why you have to have what I would say something on the inside to protect you from some of your choices. And so I'm asking you this. Make sure your life's in order. Work, then play. Do not avoid any of your responsibilities or your relationships. If you have responsibilities at home, don't fight your parents over it. Accept it. Submit yourself to God. Do your responsibilities. Have an actual conversation with your mother and your father. Amen. And then when they give you the time to play and enjoy yourself, go in there guilt-free and don't come out a zombie. Don't be a zombie the next day where every time we have to repeat something to you, you look like you're on drugs when we look in your eyes and you look like you're in another world when we're trying to talk to you. And young men, if you have a family and you have a problem with this, don't be broke the next day with bills to pay because of the money that you spend playing. Don't be in a fog when you come to church. Amen. Mom and dad, how about rewarding your children for showing restraint? Good. Reward them for showing restraint. All right, look at 1 Corinthians 9. Look at this, and I'm done. Look at verse 24. People have gotten into trouble with sin a long, long, long time before there ever was electricity. And it all boils down to you having something good, but you're overdoing it and you're taking something that is good and you're turning it into something that is bad. He said, do you have honey? He said, eat it. It's good for you. He said, but look, eat only so much as is sufficient for you. What you can handle. Look in chapter 9, verse number 24. God loves you, God has saved you, God has gifted you, God has a purpose for you. Verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." What does that mean? It means stay motivated to be your very best, to run your race for Christ, and to be the very best Christian you can be. All right, verse 25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery," you see that? The mastery. In other words, you want to be the best. If you want to be the best on that video game or that war game, and you do your very best to accomplish that, how about you doing that for Christ? Show that same energy. He says this, however, if you're going to master anything, you're going to have to master you. He says, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Nothing controls him. He controls it. And if I can control it, God will trust me with more because he knows that I'm going to keep my priorities in order. He says in verse 25, and that's why you have to be very careful. When somebody sees you doing something, are you having something? And they say, "Man, I can't believe he's got a television." As if all you do is watch television. Because if he had the television, all he would do is watch television. But yet, it seems like a doctor can handle that and do his job. But you can as a Christian. Do you understand? It's some people can have things because it doesn't have them. Some of you really don't believe that. You think everybody's weaknesses is like yours. Now, I've heard some men say, "I don't have a television in my home because I can't handle it." And I appreciate their honesty. We didn't have one for years and years while the children were growing up. And I'm glad we did not. We did that on purpose. What I am saying is that sometimes some people have some things. Well, if I had a simple thing like an RV. Some people have an RV. We wouldn't see them on Sunday. Some people could have three RVs. And we'll see them every Lord's Day, except when they go on vacation. Because they have their priorities. They love the Lord. They have temperance. They have moderation. How is your phone and your laptop and your computer impacting your time? I'm not talking about your work time. How is it impacting your personal responsibilities? And how are you progressing in life? Or is it holding you back? All right, now look here. Look what he says. This has always been going on. This is just a different symptom. Verse 25 says, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." You know, one of the things on the list that I looked up that the 10 most addictive things in America is coffee. Is coffee good for you? Yes, it really is. But not in excess. Because, man, you'll be stuttering in a little while if you just keep drinking high-octane coffee all day long. And you probably won't be able to sleep at night. And you get irritable. It says, and nicotine. Nicotine, I understand from what I have read, is one of the hardest things in the world, drugs to get off of. Nicotine, because of its pull on the body, whether it be snuff or cigarettes. My brother was semi-Down syndrome. He was 7 years older than I. My mother smoked when I was a child and she quit. Then, when my brother was in his 40s, he'd been smoking all his life. He loved cigarettes. I mean, he smoked them like a chain smoker. But he also loved to play his guitar. He absolutely loved playing a guitar. So, mom said, told him, she said, I'll get you a guitar if you quit smoking. They've been smoking almost his whole life. Did you know he quit smoking that day? I'm talking about cold turkey, put them down, quit smoking. Why? He was motivated. He wanted something greater than a cigarette. He wanted a guitar, and he wanted to sing like Johnny Cash. He would get outside my window when I was a little younger and just bang away on it, singing and hollering. When he was kid, when he had one that only had three strings on it, and it finally broke. But when he was older, mom got him a good one, if you quit smoking. And there's some things God would do for you and give you if you would quit letting some things control you. If you would want to please him, you say, well, I do want to quit. But let me ask you this. So you say, well, I can't quit. I'm saying you can quit if you want to please him. And if you want learn to love him, and you open up your eyes to what God could do through you and for you and with you. Now look what he says. Verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Paul said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now watch now. But I keep under my body. What does that mean? It means my body, my desires, my passions do not rule me. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You say, well, turn with me to one more verse. I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 15 and 16. If you're going to be addicted to something, let me give you something to be addicted to. That principle of honey, have you ever eaten something that you really liked till you threw up and then you didn't really want it much anymore? That's a good way to get broke of something, I suppose. I wouldn't advise it. Look in 1 Corinthians 16. Look at this. Verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, how that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So if you're going to be addicted to something, be addicted to being a blessing. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, I just gotta be a blessing to somebody today, Lord. Can I text them? Can I call them? Can I give them something? Can I serve them? Can I do something? Lord, I'm hooked on this. I got to do something. And I'm unhappy until I do. I'm addicted to it. I'm irritable until I get a chance to be a blessing. It says they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now watch what God did for him. He put him in leadership. Because he could trust him. Verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such. There's somebody that's not allowing anything else in their life to control them more than serving God. And so God has promoted them to leadership because God can trust them. Because they're addicted. If you're addicted to something, develop a greater addiction for something else. Like serving the Lord. Amen. I love you, and I thank God for you. If I have failed to teach this tonight in the right spirit, I apologize. My goal is not to turn you away from your pastor. Your goal is to turn you toward Christ. And I'm going to hound you about your stuff. I'm going to help you to understand that if you handle it right, you can do it guilt-free, and it can benefit you, and you can be a blessing to other people rather than it driving you into the ground and hurting your body and hurting your mind and hurting your relationships with other people. Let's stand together, please. With our heads bowed. We're not going to have an invitation. You know what to do. It's not going to matter unless you make some changes. What I ask you to do is go home and get alone with God and say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And Lord, I don't want anything to control me. I don't want this. I want you to help me to overcome my weaknesses. Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've done my very best to do my research, to meditate, to pray, and to seek your will about this matter. Lord, I pray that it would have an impact. God, I pray that it'd be more than just a sermon, a lecture, information. I pray that our young men would realize that they are our greatest assets in our church. They have the greatest potential for the next generation. And Lord, I don't want the adversary to have them. And I pray for them tonight that they'd receive in meekness what their pastor has preached in love. In Jesus' name, amen.